May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 87. With David's Lord and ours, a covenant once was made, whose bonds are firm and sure, whose glories ne'er shall fade, signed by the sacred three in one, in mutual love, ere time began. Hymn number 87.
From the Holy Word of God, we will read in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Isaiah chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them, and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name. And he shall come upon princes, and upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor that, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Almighty, most gracious, ever blessed Lord God Almighty, Creator of all things in heaven above and upon the earth below, do help us, mere creatures of a day, to bow down our heads in the solemn act of worship, and to come before thee with prayer and supplication, recognizing, O Lord, that we are wholly unworthy of this great favor that thou dost bestow upon us, that we may come to the throne of grace, that we may call upon the name of the Lord our God, and thou art pleased to hear the prayers of thy people. But we come, O Lord, as sinners poor at mercy's door. We plead that blood that was for sinners spilled, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. But all to know by the inspiration of the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that in sin did our parents conceive us, and as the apostle says, within us, within our flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. We are altogether vile. It is but through sovereign grace that we are made aware of these things, and we are brought to condemn even ourselves before thee, recognizing our guilt and our shame, and humbly confessing and acknowledging, Lord, thy righteousness in dealing with us as our sins deserve. And yet, O Lord, thou hast proved to us better than all our fears. Lord, we come then pleading that help of thy Spirit, that we may be led into these things of sweet humility. Humble thyselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, to know that humble souls, it is that find salvation. Lord, we come upon the morning of this thine appointed day, the first day of the week, the day that reminds us that Christ Jesus broke forth from the dead, who rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and is now ascended into heaven to take his place at the right hand of the throne of God, who lives for ever and for ever. Blessed be his name. Ah, that we might worship the King in his beauty, that we might see the glorious Son of God and behold yon lovely man by the eye of faith, and have that anticipation that we shall behold thee in glory without a veil between, where we shall adore thee for ever and for ever. But Lord, thou knowest the secret of every heart. Thou knowest those that have come this morning with desire, that they might be fed upon the gospel of thy grace. And thou knowest any that have come without due care and concern regarding their never dying souls. Lord, may thy word go forth as an arrow of conviction. Convince them of their sin, then lead to Jesus' precious blood. Lord, that none should be left out of the great secret, the secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear him. O Lord, do draw then by thy Spirit. Thou hast sent one to preach the gospel, but it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It's not by our eloquence that souls can be delivered from the wrath that is to come. As the apostle informs us, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are but poor things before thee. The work is wholly thine. We are impotent to do any good thing, but we look to thee. Our hope as in the Lord our God. For to whom else can we go? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Lead us not, neither forsake us, O God, of our salvation. But come by thy blessed Spirit today, enlighten and enliven us in the things of God. May we, by the eye of faith, see Jesus, whom to know is life everlasting. Lord, undertake for us in this journey of life, for we live in a dark and evil day. There are so many things which are happening in the world are contrary to the scriptures of truth. And Lord, are abhorrent to the people of God. And how we need to be kept. We realize that we cannot keep ourselves. We look to thee, O Lord, to be our strength and our stay. Keep us then unspotted from the world. Help us to live a God-fearing life, to be a witness unto others, that we are not ashamed of thee, we're not ashamed of the gospel, we're not ashamed to own and profess thy lovely name. Lord, that we might stand as those who are the sons of God, born from above, born by the work of the Holy Spirit, made willing in the day of thy power, have sought to turn our backs upon this dark world of sin, to rise up, take up our cross, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ whithersoever he may lead us. And we think of Abraham, who left Ur of the Chaldees to go he knew not where, but trusting in the Lord. So we learn that we must walk by faith and not by sight. And yet, O Lord, it is our nature to want a sight of that which lies before us. But, O, do teach us to leave all in thy competent hands, for there are no safer hands to trust in than thine. Lord, that thou would lead us forth by a right way. We know not what lies before us in life's journey. We know not what a day may bring forth. Our times are in thy hands, and all events are at thy command. Thou who art the sovereign ruler of the skies, and ever gracious and ever wise. O Lord, do help us then to wait upon our God, to know no other will but thine, and that we may wait for thine appearing. For thou shalt come that second time in glorious array, with the angels surrounding thee and 10,000 of thy saints. Lord, what a day that will be, when many shall call upon the rocks to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. How shall it be in the swelling of Jordan? How shall it be with us in that great day of judgment, when all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for the deeds done in the flesh? Is it well with our souls? Well whilst we live, and well if called to die? Our Lord, as a psalmist could say, search me and try my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord, how we feel to need to search ourselves before ever we can ask thee to search us. For we find a plague of sin within. We find that we are full of unbelief and hardness of heart. But Lord, thy mercies are forever sure. We pray that thou wilt remember the church settled here. We thank thee for every remembrance of them. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt establish thy work more and more. Do bless the deacons. Help them, O Lord, in all things, each member of the church, and those stated members of the congregation. Unite their hearts in Christian love. Build them up in their most holy faith. Bring others in to assemble with them. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We pray for those that are laid aside with sickness and affliction. We remember one who has been injured this week. Pray for his recovery. Lord, thou knowest the needs of all thy people everywhere. Help them to cast their burden upon the Lord. Help them to seek thy face in prayer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or may they prove that thou art that good God. Thy mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. Trust in the Lord at all times, my people. Or that prayer and supplication and thanksgiving may be put up unto thee, for we would be thankful for every mercy granted unto us, thy kind care and keeping, the provision of all our many needs, a measure of health and strength as we enjoy it at this time, and all the blessings of this life. But, O Lord, to consider that when this life is o'er, then to be with Christ, which is far better, and to live without sin and sorrow and shame. Our Lord, as the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she had to say, the half had not been told me, and doubtless the half has not been told us. But oh, that we might have that desire to look within the veil, to see the glory of our Emmanuel, God with us. So, Lord, do bless us now. Bless the work of the Sunday school. Bless those who are involved in teaching the young the ways of God. Lord, that the young people may remember their Creator in the days of their youth. We pray for them that thou'll watch over them and protect them from all the evils of this world. Bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth. And as they grow in years, so may they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Bless parents in their responsibilities in bringing up their children aright in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And remember, O Lord, those who carry the burdens of this world, the weight of things here below. May they be in the world, but not of the world. And Lord, may their light shine among men. Lord, hear us now. O, do bless us indeed. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. Pardon all we ask amiss. And forgive us our every sin. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
The Lord may be graciously pleased to help us. I would direct your prayerful attention this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It is said that they that know no changes fear not God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is through much tribulation that ye shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The true believer's pathway is not, as many today suggest, a pathway of ease, a downy pillow that wafts them to glory. No, if you consider the saints of old, it is a tried and a tested way. And as the psalmist came into that experience, afterwards he said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Then many of God's dear people are full of doubts and fears. And this is why we have, throughout the Word of God, scattered here and there, those many fear not. What does a true believer have to fear? What reason can he give that he is so afraid at times? You know, there's a very fine line between faith and presumption. And there are many that presume that they are going to heaven, and that all is well with them. But there are some fearful saints who fear whether they have ever come into the way, whether the Holy Spirit has ever granted unto them a heart of true, felt repentance before Almighty God. There are many that fear that their sins, which are many, testify against them. Does not the hymn writer say daily, I'd repent of sin, daily wash in Jesus' blood? So fear is something that all God's people know at times in their lives. We're not always upon the crest of the waves. We're not always upon the tops of the mountains. Sometimes we have to pass through that dark valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But notice, between the word fear and not, there is that little word, thou. And doesn't it bring it to a personal application? You see, real religion is something that we must know for ourselves. We cannot inherit it from our parents. We cannot receive it from our friends. Even our ministers can't lay it in our hearts. It is the sovereign work of God. From beginning to end. It comes from an appointed time when God is pleased to call his people. Remember that God's people are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ knows those that are his. But we may be as rebels, far off from God, as far from God as sheep can run. than it may seem. And perhaps parents look at their children, or one may look at their partner, their husband or their wife. They may look at brothers and sisters and see them enveloped in a world of sin and shame and think, can ever the work of God begin here? But the Lord knows what he will do. And at his appointed time, the Holy Spirit will come and reveal to them that they are sinners before God. And what a solemn time is that in the experience of God's people. What a solemn time it must have been for David. Remember how David had sinned dreadfully against God. And yet it seemed for a time he was almost insensible of that sin, until the Lord sent his servant Nathan with the finger of accusation and said, "Thou art the man." Oh, how it must have struck David. How it must have put much fear in his heart that God would cast him off forever, that he would be gracious to him no more. And so it is when the Lord first begins a work of grace in our hearts. It is to convince us of our sins. One of our hymns says, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. Do we know then what it is to be under the condemning power of the Spirit of God? To know that by birth and by nature, by practice, we are far off from God. And can ever God dwell here? Can he ever dwell in this wretched, sinful heart of mine? We look at others. We see their lives, we reckon them to be godly people. And we compare ourselves and say we're not like those. But it is in the divine purposes of God that we might know that we have no hope in ourselves. No hope in self I find. We seek for something good, but there is nothing there. As I mentioned in prayer, within us, within our flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Our man likes to think that he has something. Surely there must be some good in me, something inherently good that I can lay hold upon, something that I can present before God. But remember, God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God cannot tolerate sin at any degree. And so, as we examine ourselves, as we come to that understanding that all is stained and died with sin, our all is nothing worth, what a miserable condition. What an awful state to be in. And yet in reality, a blessed state. Because he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And here is the very beginnings. Some cannot recognize this, but it is so. It is a truth of God's holy word that we must first. I've often mentioned from the pulpit, very simple saying, it's only a sinner that needs a saviour. If we feel ourselves that we have something good within ourselves, then we do not need the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. It's only when we come to that position where we have nothing to pay, it is then that the Lord will be merciful unto us. Fear thou not. Have we been like Samuel of old? Have we heard the voice of love and mercy? Have we come to that point where we have been enabled to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Have we been given a hearing ear? Have we been given an understanding heart? Have we come into the house of God with anticipation? Lord, do speak to me today. Do call me by my name. Do show me that I am thine. Oh Lord, lead me out of the secret I fear, lest I be passed by, lest everyone else in the church be called and I'm left behind. I just mentioned to you of the lady, I won't say where, who went to the chapel as she regularly did on Sunday morning, and the Lord had touched her heart, and she came in, as it were, the chapel door, and she saw the people sitting there, and she was convinced that everyone was a saint and herself a wretched sinner, and she felt, I can't go in among this people, I can't taint them with my sin, and she turned and went to go home. And the Lord appeared to her and said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Oh, it broke it. She came weeping to the house of God, there to hear a word in season for her never dying soul. Fear thou not. You see, the self-righteous have no need for such a word as this. They have no heart for the things of God. But if you're a fearful soul, you fear that perhaps you will never go to heaven, you fear that your sins so testify against you, perhaps you fear that you've committed the unpardonable sin, and the devil is very quick to accuse you and to bring you down and to say you're not one of the Lord's. But these words are words of consolation to the true Israel of God, to those who perhaps struggle, as it were, in the way. Fear thou not. Why should we not fear when circumstances all around us cause us to fear? Perhaps we look at things naturally. We see the land departing from the truth, as it most surely has done. We see corruption rising up. We see the wicked man seeming to prosper. Everything seems to be against real religion. Everything seems to be against us. Jacob came there. He said, all these things are against me. But were they? We may fear what will happen to this nation. We may fear what will happen in the churches. Will persecution come? Will I stand if it does? Fear thou not. And here we are given a great reason why we should not fear. For I am with thee. And surely there can't be any greater words of comfort than this. As the apostle takes up this similar theme, he says, if God be for us, who, or come to that what, can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Read the end of that 8th chapter to Romans, those beautiful words that show us all those things that might separate us. But he comes to that grand conclusion, nothing can and nothing will. For I am with thee. Remember how Moses was commissioned of God to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses, we might say naturally speaking, was afraid. Fear, doubtless, filled his heart at such a task to be given unto him. And he says to the Lord, who shall I say hath sent me? And the answer he received were these two words, I am. Say that I am hath sent thee. You see, the name of God is such a holy name. The old Hebrews had letters that set forth the name of God. But they were letters that could not be pronounced. And they used to say, the old Jewish rabbis would say that God is so holy that we cannot call him by his name. It is then out of respect. But we may call him Lord. He is the Lord over his people. He is the Lord, sovereign Lord over all things, of course, but especially over his people. So this expression, I am, sets forth Almighty God in all his power, in all his glory, in all his authority, that he is the everlasting God. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. For I am with thee. Remember hearing the account of the child that was walking down the road with its parent, and a great dog suddenly pounced out in front of them. And the child was greatly afraid. And it took hold of the hand of its parent. And the parent says, fear not. Keep close to me. How much more the God of heaven is with his people. For I am with thee. What a mercy that God is ever with his people. But you say there are times of darkness that come into my life that I cannot see him and I greatly fear. Was it not so with the disciples? Remember them upon the sea and the winds were contrary and Jesus was not there. Then he comes walking upon the waves. The Lord, who is over all, God blessed forevermore, I am with thee. And the Lord is ever with his people. In darkness, in difficulties, times of distress, times of despondency, times of opposition. Yes, in times of persecution too. And we can look back to some of those that were persecuted unto death. The Lord never failed them. He didn't forsake them. He was ever there at hand. What a mercy. And the Apostle Paul says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ye poor, trembling saint of God, come boldly to the throne of grace. There God waits to answer prayer. Isn't this a great consolation? To know that God is with us, that he is ever with us, that it is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I say again, a God that changes not. Change and decay in all around I see. We may feel the changing circumstances of our lives. Those of us who are getting older feel something of the frailty of our bodily frame. But I am with thee. And here is a statement of fact that cannot be disrupted, it cannot be removed. It's ever there. But it comes to this great foundation, doesn't it? Am I a child of God? Am I born again of God's Holy Spirit? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the dear Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? The apostle says, make your calling and election sure. Oh, it's all the work of grace. It's the Lord himself that will reveal these things from heaven. He will confirm the faith that he has given unto you. And you will live upon the faith of the Son of God. You will live upon the merits of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am with thee. Are these not words of comfort that a poor sinner can plead before God? Lord, I'm uncertain of the way. I fear the future. Things in my life seem to be so complicated, so difficult. People speak against me. I have many enemies that testify against me. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. There's many things that may dismay us. But do we not walk in the same pathway that the saints of God have ever walked in? Remember Hezekiah. Remember the letter that he received. This great king who had overcome many nations, swept them away by his great power, and now with a vast army surrounded Jerusalem, here's Hezekiah shut up, the supplies are falling away, there's little to eat, little to drink. Soon, surely, they must give in, they must let their conquerors take over. And what does Hezekiah do? What an example. He takes his letter. He spreads it before the Lord. He calls upon the name of his God. And God hears him and God delivers him. Yes, perhaps he was dismayed at the circumstances as we naturally look upon them. But look to God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the author and finisher of our faith. Look what he endured on our behalf. Art thou dismayed at those things that surround you? In employment, in the family, in the city or in the country? Oh, there's many things that would or could dismay us. But if we look to the Lord, here is all needed strength, all needed wisdom, all needed understanding. Be not dismayed. And again, we might ask why. He goes on to say, "For I am thy God." I am thy God. Here we have those words, I am. But I am in this especial way. I am thy God. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. I like that beautiful hymn of Ann Steele. I think it so sets it before us. She says, "My God, my Father." What a testimony of faith. What a declaration of belief. My God, my Father, blissful name. And then she says, "Oh, may I call thee mine." At times we dare not presume, but oh, may I call thee mine. This is my desire. This is the longing of my heart. Lord, I want to call thee my own. I want to know that union so divine, a union that can never be broken. For it is the union that Christ hath made with our souls. If our faith was dependent upon us to keep it, we would be lost. But it is the Lord that giveth our faith. And we can ask that the Lord might increase that faith, that we might know that he is our God, both now and forevermore. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Have we bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it our desire that we might follow him in his commandments, walk in his ways, delight to do his will? The Lord Jesus Christ, our divine pattern, said, "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." Now we cannot say it perfectly, but can we say it at all? Can we say that the law of God is in our hearts, inasmuch as we desire to walk out his ways? We desire to do his will. Is it our daily prayer, "Thy will be done on earth, in heaven, by me"? What a mercy to know we have a relationship with the Most High God. And how often we have to say, "Why me? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come?" And again we have to say, "It was nothing within us, nothing within me." Why did God choose his people when they were fewer than any people? And the simple answer is because he would. He loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness did he draw them. Have we known that loving kindness of God in drawing us to himself? As we look back over our lives, perhaps we can remember a time when we didn't walk with God. We wanted the things of time and sense. We wanted this world. We wanted to follow the fashions and prospects of this world. But then the Lord stopped us in our mad career. He turned us around. "Come unto me," he says, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there was found in our hearts a willingness to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, not in our own strength, not by our own ability, but by his grace, he saved us and brought us to worship him, to adore his matchless lane, to walk in the light of his countenance, and again I say, delight to do his will. For I am thy God. Once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. None can separate us, none can pluck us out of his hand or out of the Father's hand, for I am thy God. But this shows that God has looked upon us. The Father looks upon us through the Son. It's all through Jesus Christ. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Oh, to look to Jesus, to look to him alone, our only hope, our only salvation. His very name is Saviour. He came to save lost, poor, how deserving sinners. And not one shall be left behind. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's no uncertainty. All the Father's choice in his Son shall in the fullness of time come to him. To be sons and daughters of God, adopted into that royal family, to be the children of the Most High. Now, what does God do for us? He says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness. Firstly, I will strengthen thee. Do we not need to be strengthened? Well, look at the case of the Apostle Paul, this great apostle who had been favoured of God to ascend up into the third heaven, to see things which it was not lawful for him to speak of. What a glorious sight he must have had. What a favoured man. But then he returns, as it were, to the earth. And there is given him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he feels his weakness. And the Lord says unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the dear man of God shall say that when I am weak, then am I strong. Weak in self, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I will strengthen thee. And there are certain times and experiences in our lives when the Lord is pleased to lay us low. And there is great instruction in this, whether it's through bodily affliction, whether it's through troubles that come upon us and test us very severely, and we feel utterly weak. Well, here is a wonderful promise. I will strengthen thee. Oh, how we need the Lord to appear, to make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain, to make darkness light and death into life. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. I will strengthen thee. It's not I might, or I could do, or if you do certain things, then I will do this. He's an all-sufficient God. And he meets our poor needs. He meets our weaknesses. He puts his strength within us, enables us to trust in him at all times. I've often thought upon that, to trust in him at all times, even though he may have hidden himself and we cannot see him, whether it be in times of great distress. The Lord is there. The Lord is ever there for his people. Again, when the disciples were on the sea and the water was coming into the ship and they were in danger of sinking and they were greatly distressed, and Jesus was asleep in the rear end of the ship, and they come and awake him. And they say, carest thou not that we perish? Have we come there? Carest thou not that we perish? What, one of my loved ones? One whom I have chosen from all eternity? One for whom I have paid the price of their sins? Carest thou not? The Lord ever cares for his people. He's ever looking upon us with his love, with his sympathy. He knows all that we're passing through. He knows the end from the beginning. Trust in him at all times. Yea, or yes, I will help thee. Other refuge have I none. We may go to a friend, we may go to a relation, we may go to parents or to children to seek help. And how often we do this. Instead of going to the Lord, we go somewhere else. And we find there's no help for us. The help seems to be frustrated, and we come into even greater depths. Well, the Lord has said, yes, of a surety, I will help thee. I will help thee to overcome the difficulties, the trials, the perplexities of life. I will help thee to look to me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and not man. Yea, I will help thee. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend in need and a friend indeed. One to whom we can always go. And the Holy Spirit compassionates our case. Yea, I will help thee. Again, this yea or yes is put there as a definite. Yes, of a surety, I will help thee. As the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, as they had the army behind them, they were shut in the wilderness. There was no way over. How could they pass over that great river? And there they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard the cry of Moses and said, go forward. And sometimes we have to go forward when we can see no way. And again, it's trusting in the Lord. It's waiting upon our God. Because he is able to make a way where there is no way. It was a miracle. The waters stood up as a heap, and the children of Israel went over as on dry land. While their enemies, essaying to do the same, perished as the waters returned. Yes, the Lord is able to help us when others cannot, or others dare not. Others perhaps promise help, and the promise is not realized. But the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us if we trust in Him. He will help us through all the vicissitudes of life. He will help us to traverse that straight and narrow road that leads to God. He will help us to overcome at last when we come to the Jordan of death. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For most people, the right hand is their strong hand. Here is omnipotent hand. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord is a righteous God. He is a good God. His mercies are forever sure. Then, to have this promise, to have it fulfilled, to have it ever in front of us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But we are all unrighteousness. It is then to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to Him at all times, to rest not in our own understanding, but in His righteous ways, by His righteous, omnipotent hand, a hand that will never fail. As we read, underneath are the everlasting arms, the everlasting arms of the great Jehovah Jesus. I will uphold thee. Do you fear lest you should not be found right at last? Do you fear lest you should miss the way? Do you fear as though your religion will all come to nothing? These are the types of fears that God's people have ever had, and perhaps ever will have. But here is a great promise. It's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon Him. He is our strength and stay. He will uphold us to the end of the journey. He will keep us safe and bring us through. And we shall dwell with Him forever. Oh, to be found the Israel of God. You'll notice that we have these fear nots again in the 13th and 14th verses. And in verse 14 it says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." We find in these prophecies that the name Jacob and Israel are constantly used. You know, Jacob, his name suggested that he was a supplanter. And often we may think of Jacob as the unconverted man. But Israel, the prince with God, one who has found favour with the Lord. But Jacob became Israel. And we, unworthy though we be, if the Lord calls us by divine grace, we become part of that Israel of God, having found favour with the Lord Most High, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ by an open profession of faith, we are those that are walking in the way. Yes, we have many failings, many complaints. We're but poor things still. Sin is mixed in all that we think, say, or do. Yet, the Lord is with us. And if God is with us now, he will be with us to the end. And he will bring us safely through the Jordan of death. And there shall we stand among his people and delight in the Lord forever and forever. How is it with you? Has the Lord begun that work in your heart? Have you some evidence that grace reigns there? Though fearful, though poor, though despicable in thine own sight, do you have a hope through grace that the Lord will not cast you off forever, but will receive you unto himself and into his glory, there to be with him forever and ever? Oh, may it be so. May we know these precious promises to be for us. The Lord has put them in the scriptures for a purpose, for his poor, doubting, feeble people. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The cloud ye so much dread is big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £682, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pickett hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Richard Field, and Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. There will be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach in the evening. And the collections today are for Christian concern. Let us now close with hymn 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. 247.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, rest upon and abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.